Welcome to the show. Today I have Zach Abbott, the founder and CEO of ZBiotics. Now, they are a really cool company who you may have heard on the show a few weeks ago, and this is the second part of the interview where we go deep into what they're actually doing. So ZBiotics make probiotics and they engineer them to do really cool stuff inside your body. And in this interview, we go deeper into like how they engineer these bacteria to work in the microbiome and just lots of cool stuff that's going on in your microbiome and how it affects you and what's going to happen in the future and the crazy stuff that's going to be possible, which really blew my mind. What could actually be happening in the future just from the stuff inside your stomach and things. So it's a really interesting interview if you're into your health and knowing what's going on inside you. I think you'll really enjoy it. So enjoy the show with Zach because he's a great guy and he's doing some cool stuff. Cheers. Welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast. Success isn't a goal, it's a journey. I interview the most incredible humans to keep your mind optimized for growth. How do you go around engineering a new bacteria? Did you have to go hire labs and sort of actually bring this to market? Did you have what sort of testing and these kind of stuff? Just because it's, can you sort of say this quickly?
Yeah. I mean, to engineer the bacteria, I mean, that's what I brought to the table. So I was luckily able to kind of conceive of, design and build our product. In terms of testing, obviously initial testing and things to convince myself the product was good and safe, I could do, but things we needed to do for a regulatory body like the FDA, needed to be outsourced because they needed to be done in a certain way, following certain protocols and those sorts of things. So everything that mattered to the company in terms of the quality of the product, I did, but everything that sort of was important for regulatory, we outsourced to make sure that that was done by professionals. Well, professionals with that specific thing, obviously. I'm a professional as well, but in a different way.
Nice. So do you make it all in your own labs or did you then like outsource it once you sort of like license everything?
Yeah. So we outsourced the manufacturing as well. I mean, there are very specific food grade requirements and the setup of the room. And truthfully, going back, I kind of wish we'd set this up ourselves and hopefully we will at some point. But initially, it seemed like it'd be easier just to kind of get a facility and kind of just contract the work out because you have these big fermenters and stuff like that that are expensive pieces of equipment. It turns out that because of the bacteria we use, a lot of facilities don't like working with it because it's this really great bacteria. It's very robust and it's able to survive your stomach acid because it's in this like very robust form. But that also means that it's difficult to get out of their equipment when they want to put another bacteria in there. And so it's not impossible or anything like that, but it's just one more thing. And if they want to move quickly, they like bacteria that are not spore formers like ours. So that posed a problem, but we did find partners that could work with us. And so we outsource all of our manufacture.
Interesting. It's exciting. Yeah, I'm really into interesting biotech stuff. Have you heard of Atlas Biomed? They're kind of like 23andMe, but they also do microbiome testing and they've got like a really cool platform that sort of, they'll probably like optimize your entire meal plan and like tell you everything about your sort of genetics and like gut bacteria to sort of get you to the best sort of point of health just from like data and information, which is super cool. But what kind of impact your stuff would have on people's microbiome? And have you ever thought about like, is there ways to create a bacteria that would like self-perpetuate so you don't need to take like the alcohol sort of acetaldehyde A's once, then it's just like permanently there in your stomach so you can always like feel a bit safer with your drinking?
Yeah. So we definitely thought about those. As a microbiologist, is the first question, I asked. And so when I was just conceiving of the idea, I specifically chose a bacteria. So you're basically asking like, am I worried about the effects on the microbiome? And could I make a bacteria that seeded or took up residence in the gut? Those are sort of like two opposite questions in a lot of ways. Like something that takes up residence in your gut is fundamentally going to change it in some way. And so I actually opted for the opposite approach because I didn't want to affect the microbiome. And everybody's microbiome is so different. The idea of seeding the gut, despite what you may read from probiotics companies, is next at this stage in our understanding is next to impossible to have consistent seeding of the gut in every person because everybody's microbiome is very different. And sort of the analogy I use is like it's going to a house party, right? Like somebody walks into one house party, they're the life of the party. They walk into a very different house party and nobody likes them. Right? Like if you imagine like sort of like a bro-y frat party versus like a hipster craft cocktail party, those are very different. And that's kind of what our microbiomes are like. And so the idea that we could get this silver bullet that could affect everybody, seed everybody's got the same and have this consistent effect that is uniformly beneficial is not realistic at this stage. Someday somebody will figure it out, but right now we're not there. And so I opted for the opposite, which is pick something that you likely already eat every day that we know a lot about that we know passes through your gut and does not seed the gut. and therefore has minimal impact on your microbiome and is also very consistent. It passes through your gut and my gut roughly the same. And so that means that it's going to have a relatively consistent effect as opposed to something that maybe seeds your gut, but then doesn't seed mine. So that was the idea for us.
It's really fascinating. Glad I went into that. It does kind of make me think about potential future things that you're then going to be doing. It's in seedings are going to be a bit difficult, but as in constantly recommended to start drinking kefir and all these kind of things to sort of hopefully seed our gut with more healthier bacteria. So are you looking at products in into that direction?
So one of the things I think is interesting is, so the idea of gut seeding is, for lack of a better way to put it, like this magical microbe that gets in there and it sort of has uniformly beneficial interaction with your gut and with your body and with your microbiome. And what's interesting about the microbiome is that like there are infinite numbers of combinations of bacteria that could create a positive benefit for you. And really what's happening is sort of the network of like metabolic pathways and kind of like small molecules that are being spit out and they're being pulled in. And so being able to affect that network is more important, I think, than the actual bugs themselves. And so I think in terms of having a positive benefit on the microbiome and gut health, it'd be more, I think you could have a higher likelihood of success with simpler technology by like engineering a microbe to create some sort of beneficial output that we know is useful. So as an example, short-chain fatty acids like butyrate, propionate are really valuable small molecules that positively affect your gut and your microbiome. And so if you just make a bug that makes those, rather than try to get a bug to kind of insert itself into the microbiome and affect sort of that complex network to generate that output, you know, it's a lot easier to kind of get them to just do the output themselves. So I think those are the things that we're looking into in terms of affecting the microbiome in positive ways, is sort of supplying nutrients that support the positive outputs or supplying a bug that makes that positive output. And I think that that's the simplest strategy, in my opinion, to kind of positive effect.
Cool. So that's some of the stuff you're going to be looking at in the future then currently.
That is fully in the pipeline for ZBiotics and something I'm very excited about.
Join over 500,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. With BetterHelp, it's a sponsor of this podcast, and they're just really great, and hopefully it can help you with any of the problems that you have. I genuinely struggle from a diagnosed condition of needing too much adventure and thrill seeking, but during lockdown, this actually kind of came out in some weird ways, and sometimes when I'd be recording the podcast, I'd be talking to someone in the interview, and I would just mute the sound on my headphones, so I'd have no idea what they were saying, and I'd just try and carry on with the interview and see if I could do it without anyone noticing. I have no idea why I did that. Yeah, there's something wrong with me. Hence why I needed counseling. BetterHelp really helped me find healthier ways to exist as a human in this crazy world. They assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. It's professional counseling done securely online with all types of counselors in different professions, and you can access it from anywhere in the world. It's really convenient. So yeah, this is a special offer for Growth Mindset podcast listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/growthmindsetpodcast.
Okay, and I think this conversation would be missing if I didn't ask you about stool transplants and think about those things as a central component. So yeah, what do you think about them? Should we be doing them? Is this a pretty stupid idea? Is it healthy?
I think it's extremely crude, of course, but it is there's demonstrated efficacy and there is value without a doubt. I mean, basically what we're doing with a stool transplant, just to kind of, you know, spell it out in case people are unfamiliar, is the idea that you take somebody's stool and, you know, you take that from somebody who we know has a healthy microbiome. And like I say, there are many combinations that make a healthy microbiome, but we know that this one is good. And we give it to somebody. So basically, like, their stool is really the entire network of healthy microbes. And then we give that to somebody who we know doesn't have a healthy microbiome. And by, rather than trying to find the one or two bugs that are important in a cocktail, like in a probiotic, we just say agnostically, we don't know what's in here, but we know it's good. And we know that all these thousands of species of bacteria are good. And so we just give you their stool and we deliver that to a person in a way that is as ungross as possible. But at the end of the day, it's really just a way of sort of like an organ transplant, right? Like you give somebody a healthy liver, you give somebody a healthy microbiome. And so, I mean, look, we don't know enough about the microbiome to be more sophisticated. So just taking a crude transplant like that is the most effective way. And so for situations where people are getting C. difficile infections, which is, we know the major cause or the major susceptibility in people is a poor microbiome, that these transplants work and help people resist, you know, a potentially fatal infection. So there are certainly applications that make a ton of sense. And I think that that can be extrapolated out to other indications applications. That being said, I'm confident that science will move forward and we will become more sophisticated than stool transplant point. I don't know when that will be. I'm working on it, but it will happen. In the meantime, I think it's a great place to be for now.
definitely. And it's not as bad as it sounds. And when you first hear it, I kind of had the image of like sort of literally kind of surgery and putting like someone's poop into your bowel or something. It's like just like an injection. It's like, it's actually pretty, it's not that big a deal really, but it's just still.
Yeah. I mean, truthfully, I don't know the exact mechanism, but I do know that it is not as, it is as ungross as possible. So yeah. Yeah,
it's good to realize. But I mean, there have been a few people that have had like negative effects, but by and large, as long as you're doing it with someone that is healthy, then it's a good thing.
Yeah. Interesting. Like they've approved this for certain indications. They have approved donors because they're basically considered action plants that have been approved, but other people who are not approved. So you can't just take fecal matter from anybody. It's like a very few people. And so they're constantly sort of donating material. And so that's interesting in and of itself to be that guy, you know, who's like the fecal donor.
Yeah. Yeah. Something to aspire to.
Yeah.
Definitely interesting. But yeah, there's some really cool studies on twins and things where like, it's like the microbiome is so different and you can just see like how unhealthy one is compared to the other. And like they live longer and these things. It's a fascinating area.
It is amazing. I mean, like I say, it's an organ of the body with, you know, with is ever changing. Every cell is different. And so it's just by far the most complex thing in our body. And it's amazing.
Yeah, 100%. Cool. Okay. So would be interesting to talk a bit about like the future of like in 5 years time, what do you think is going to be like available on the market for people, sort of things could we be consuming for our microbiomes?
Yeah, I think, you know, truthfully, in 5 years, I don't think it will look all that different from today. Hopefully in 5 years, there will be more genetically engineered probiotics, you know, from ZBiotics and hopefully other companies. I know there are lots of stuff in the pipeline that other people are developing as well. And so I think the idea of sort of specific benefits engineered into a microbe, those will exist. More of them will exist. And I think that people are, we're making more and more discoveries, but I still think we're very much in the academic phase when it comes to the microbiome. It's such a complex environment and having reliable effects that are consistent from person to person is not something that has been solved yet. So it's hard to predict when that will happen, maybe optimistically 10 years. But I think that in the meantime, the strongest strategies are the ones where we focus on, relatively speaking, simple interactions and really try and manipulate those small interactions that we understand biochemically as opposed to sort of like broader range cohorts. I think that people are very excited about the microbiome and that in and of itself is exciting, but having reliable effects, I think is a little bit farther down the line.
Sure. So what are kind of some of the really cool things that you just wouldn't even realize would be possible, but at some point will be, even though like it's like a really long way off. In the same way that like, if you write in code, you're like, cool, I'm writing code. By the way, we can have super intelligence because of writing code. Like, what are some like the crazy next level stuff that one day will actually be possible?
I think that at some point, like if we have like ultimate control over your microbiome, I think it's going to sound crazy, but I genuinely think we can have like, you know, superhumans. We can regulate your sleep. It regulates your neurological development, your immunological development. And I think you can make people who are resistant to disease, who are like ultra regulated in terms of like their sleep and muscle development and muscle recovery. I mean, it's just sort of like, it's the core of so many functions in your body. So the endocrine system, the neurological system, the immunological systems of your body. And so if we were able to have ultimate control over those things, we could essentially manufacture your biology in partnership with the microbes that live there in a way that would make you able to recover from exercise more quickly and more efficiently and build muscle faster and prevent people from getting sort of diseases related to sugar, heart disease, and all these things that are really regulated by sort of your endocrine system and your metabolism, and as well as sort of like neurological development and sleep cycles and all these things that we know are huge risk factors for all kinds of chronic disease. And so at some point you could imagine a person who is highly resistant to basically like many non-infectious diseases. And then of course, resistant to any sort of infectious diseases on the skin, in the mouth, in the gut, in all these points of access for microbes. So it's really, really exciting. I think someday in the future, that's will be a partnership with microbes will make you kind of like the best form of human.
Cool. Wow. I'm glad I asked that.
That's a cool question. I've never been asked that one before, but it is the vision.
It's funny because I was trying to go for the same question like originally when I was like, we're going in 5 years time, but it sort of, it wasn't half as interesting. I was like, I'm sure there's something fascinating in your brain, but I don't know what it is. I had to get that. Nice. Wow. I had no idea. Did not think that something like that crazy would be quite possible. Interesting. Wow. Mind blown.
Well, as I say, it's probably a long way off, but it is a possibility.
Maybe you should write a book about that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'd read it.
We've been talking about making like a movie where we could like demonstrate.
Yeah. Kind of like the Limitless, but instead of taking like a pill that makes you smart, it's like, oh, now with your microbiome, boom.
Totally. That's exactly it. Like a Limitless probiotic.
That sounds like a perfect cartoon superhero.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, you should so do that. That'd be awesome. Nice. Oh, exciting. Okay. Anyway, rounding things up. Yeah, my last few questions I like to ask people. The first one is, what is one of your earliest memories?
You know, it's funny. The first thing that popped in my mind when you asked that question was when I was, I don't know, maybe about 3 years old and my family went to Disneyland. And I don't remember why, but I was crying. And Donald Duck gave me a hug. And I have a strange affinity for Donald Duck now. It's like, it's my favorite sort of.
Wow. Did always like Donald Duck.
He's a rascal, but you know, also a good friend to Mickey. So.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's given you any lessons on life to just always go and hug children when they're crying or anything weird.
Yeah. Be careful. But you know, if you're at an amusement park and you know, you're a lovable character. Yeah.
Interesting. Nice. Okay. Then what's one of the kindest things that someone has ever done for you? And we can't talk about Donald Duck because we just discussed that.
True. Good point. It was a very kind action. One of the kindest things that's ever been done for me. That's a hard question. Having a company means that customers have expectations that things go well for them. And so they often only take time to reach out when they're really frustrated about something not going right. And I understand that they've paid us money and they want things to go right. And so they're motivated. But people less often take the time to reach out when something good happens. And so when that does happen, it always means a lot because, you know, at the end of the day, this is what I care about. And I do it because I want people to like what we do. And one of the things we did was we sort of surprised some of our customers with like a pair of socks or something like that. And we just send it in the mail to people with a little note and whatever. And, you know, it's fun. And we sometimes get like an email back, like saying, oh, thanks for the socks or whatever. And this one woman took the time to, she wrote us like a handwritten, like thank you note and like sent a picture and stuff. And she didn't have to do that. It was, you know, received it and it just like brightened my day, like to see that somebody cared and took the time to handwrite something back. And it's not the biggest, most earth-shattering thing, but I received that in the mail the other day and I just thought like, wow, it makes all the hard times and struggles and things we deal with as entrepreneurs, like, it, you know, things like that. I think they think of us as sort of like these faceless companies, but we're people and, you know, getting something positive like that, really, it's motivating and it helps a lot.
Cool. Yeah, it's nice because I like to think of things that maybe there's lots of opportunities in your life to be super kind that pass you by. But then like when you kind of hear about people's stories about this little random things that made them happy, like, oh, I could easily do that. Like I do get nice things from companies sometimes and probably the founder is probably sometimes struggling and like a note, how many people actually send them a note to say thanks. It's like, I can definitely do that and maybe I will now. So yeah.
It was inspiring for me. I was like, I should write more thank you notes. That was really nice. Like it was good. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, glad I asked. And on that, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Sam, this was so great. I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me. I really enjoyed it. And I'm really grateful to have had the opportunity to do this with you.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to the show. If you have any questions, please reach out to me through the website at growthmindsetpodcast.com. I do love talking to listeners. You can support us on Patreon or by leaving a review on iTunes or telling a friend about us. But mostly, keep learning and keep growing.